Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Sitting Courtside, episode 29. Of course, it's your boy Jerry D here.
And it's your boy Dante. We don't have an NBA player. And we looked it up before. We were thinking, who the hell wore 29? There were a few interesting names on there. Marcus Camby is the one that stood out the most, so shout out to you, Marcus Camby.
Yeah, you know, that's the most notable one, I think. Beside Misich and OKC, who now plays for the Hornets, which is not a household name.
So. Yeah. Come on, he's getting there. Yeah, so 29 isn't a super popular number. I think I said this before. I think Marcus Camby was forced to wear 29. but regardless, it is episode 29. Sitting Courtside, welcome. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you're an audio listener, make sure to give us a 5-star rating, like all that stuff on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. I'm plugging in early, Jerry.
Yeah, we're getting plugged in early.
I'm getting early. Listen, it's 11:30 right now. I'm ready to go. I haven't had a coffee yet. You'd think I would right now. I have a little bit more energy than I thought I would, but ready to talk some basketball. I'm excited. Amazing. I'm excited to jump into some stuff, Jerry. But before we do, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm good, man. Like, unlike you, I haven't had my Gatorade Twitch either for the day. But I'm solid, man.
I have to try that. I've heard, like, some of my friends, like, have recommended that to me. Like, it's really solid.
It'll get you, Jack.
After this, I'll pick it up at, like, a gas station before I go to the gym. I'll give it a shot. A lot of people have actually been telling me about it. I just haven't checked it out yet.
I don't recommend any type of energy drinks or anything caffeinated to actually get you hyped up for a workout. I'm not that kind of guy. Fair. But I did happen to drink it before a long drive, and before the drive, I felt like I needed to go bench press 3,000. I mean, I think it does work.
The GPS said an hour. I got there in 30. But, so this episode is not sponsored by Gatorade Twitch, but I will be checking that out after this. But, yeah, we have some loaded topics today. Injuries, some returns, some mishaps. Jerry, you ready to talk some basketball?
Yeah, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and give people the bad news first, or start with the worst possible.
Rip off the Band-Aid.
Yeah, like, injuries are, they're plaguing us. Like, I think we see year after year, certain teams are bitten by injury bug where everybody's out on one particular team. But this year, it's a multitude of guys. To read off the list, we got Karl-Anthony Towns, who will be reevaluated in 4 weeks after the torn meniscus. Ben Simmons out for the season. No surprise there. That's a reoccurring trend, unfortunately. Yep. Alperen Şengün actually just sustained an injury, out for the season. One of our favorite players.
I saw it. I was watching League Pass that game when it happened.
Joel Embiid, another one that's obviously, he's been out for a long time. Could return for the playoffs, but we still don't have a definitive answer. And then, well, Donovan Mitchell, who's already missed the 65-game threshold mark, where he won't qualify for an All-NBA team, even though he's averaging like 29-6. Yeah. Or, you know, won't win any type of award. So it's unfortunate. We could also toss in the Knicks here, who's been without Julius Randle for a long stretch of time.
Jalen Brunson had a little injury scare. Thank God it wasn't anything serious. Yeah. But, it's just like, it's part of the game. Obviously, like you said, we've seen instances where just teams are just riddled with injuries. And then in this case, it's just kind of spread out.
Before you continue on, we forgot about Kawhi Leonard, who just got hurt against
Kawhi. So what was it, his back?
I believe so.
Yeah, he left the game, had to leave the arena because he was uncomfortable sitting, which is something you don't like to hear. Yeah, dude, it's just like, especially like, you don't want to see injuries in general. It's unfortunate, especially when these injuries are players on teams that are like, the playoffs are right around the corner. You know, it's like they're just about to start, and it's a really low blow to some of these players, these teams, because they work so hard all year long. Like Cat, I mean, they were the number one seed in the West all year consistently. I mean, now they're still a 2 seed. They're only half a game back of the number one seed. But, like, him being out 4 weeks, like, going into the playoffs, it's good that they were able to build up that team chemistry and, you know, all that during the regular season. But, you know, it's unfortunate that they'll be without him. I think he's going to miss part of the playoffs, at least the first round, part of the first round. So, you know, hopefully he gets back soon enough. Yeah, they have to get out of the first round without him. They're definitely going to be shorthanded to start the playoffs. But, you know, hopefully the injury isn't – he had surgery. They said 4 weeks, so look everything over. Hopefully it's a speedy recovery. Everyone, you know, is different when it comes to those injuries, how they recover and stuff. So hopefully he doesn't miss as much time as we think. Ben Simmons, we're huge Ben, you know, we're Ben Simmons fans. We're supporters. We want the best for this guy, but man, he can't stay healthy, man. It's unfortunate. It really, really is. And I think this injury in specific is going to be the one that eventually like puts him back on the free agent market. I definitely can see the Nets potentially buying out his contract after this year. Just kind of maybe starting fresh, giving him a fresh start somewhere. I don't know what your thoughts on that are. I've seen some reports saying that the Nets might move on from him, but it's unfortunate. It's a player that, you know, has the potential that he has.
I really think that the Nets might be able to actually be a playoff team because there's a good amount of talent on there. They just don't have a playmaker. Ben Simmons would have fit that role. And like real quick before I let you finish the rest of your spiel, in 2021-22, he didn't play a single game. 2023, he only played in 42. And then this year, he only plays in 15.
I can't believe he played 42 last year, to be honest with you. That sounds like a lot.
Right, but he didn't start in all of those, which is also part of it. But, you know, we talked about LaMelo before we actually started recording here, who's also another injury to add to.
Another one, yep.
Who played in 32 games last year, and now he's only playing in 22. Like, guys are only playing in less and less games, and it's kind of crazy because LaMelo's a young buck, and Ben Simmons isn't exactly even 30 yet. I don't know how old he is, but let's see.
He definitely isn't old.
He's 27 years old. He's supposed to be the prime of his career.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. I don't know. It's hard for, you know, a team, because you're right. Like a Nets team could use a good playmaker like Ben Simmons. They're only 3.5 games out of the playoffs. They're still on the cusp of making the play. I'm not saying that they will, but it's just hard when you can't count on a player being on the court and stuff. And unfortunately, you have to make some difficult decisions. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him. When he's 100% healthy, and if he can stay healthy, I think he is a difference maker. I think we can both agree on that. Yeah. But as you just listed off, like, it's hard to be a difference maker when you're not on the court. So some decisions are going to have to be made. We'll see what happens with Ben Simmons. But he's only 27. He can still turn it around.
There's just a lot, like, at all the guys that I just mentioned, like, on the list and even off the list with Kawhi, Melo, Jalen Brunson and Randall, the rest of those guys. I mean, everybody plays a role for their team. So Karl Anthony Towns was the second best player and a good way to stretch the floor if you're Minnesota to open up the floor for your Anthony Edwards's, for your Jaden McDaniels and the rest of the guys that penetrate. In terms of Kawhi, everything's kind of riding on this dude, to the point where if he's hurt, I'm not penciling in the Clippers to go to the WCF.
I remember we did a game a few weeks ago. You said like the biggest X factor for these teams like to win a championship. Yeah. I said James Harden for the Clippers, and I'm not going back on that. I do think he is an X factor. But everything does revolve around Kawhi Leonard. Like if he's healthy, when Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs healthy, borderline top five player. A few years ago, without a doubt, definitive top five player. If he's not around, that team's a lot different. Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, another guy that's hurt. Him and Scottie Barnes both fractured their hands a few weeks ago. So two more guys. But Paul George and James Harden, it's like, it's not a question of can you trust these guys. It's just like, that's a different team. Like,
they
that's
shrunk
everything.
On the bright, like, you know, I talk about the bright lights all the time. Both of those guys, I've seen them play.
They have history. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard is the one guy that you can kind of trust and like lead the way here. So if he's not there, that Clippers team is not too confident in them.
And then just like how they're missing stars and their playoff hopes go down, the Sixers are in the same boat. Where if Joel Embiid is hurt,
he's not back for the playoffs. I think they. There's a good chance they might get swept in the first round. No disrespect to them. It's just
all you're doing is being real. Like,
I'm just being honest. I love Maxi, but he can't. I don't think he can lead a team to a series win yet.
And that's what it boils down to. How much faith do you have in Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey to get you out of a first round playoff?
Hey, Buddy Hield, all right? Most threes since 2020s, all right? Come on now.
I'm not buying it.
Realistically, though, like, a lot of these teams, like, you know, these players that are out are significant players on these teams. Yeah. Like, we went over these. Sangoon, he was the Rockets are not going to make the playoffs, but he was their best player this year.
there was an outside shot that if he was healthy, maybe they win enough games to slide into a play-in spot where the Warriors or the Lakers were.
They weren't too far out, right. I mean, they're only 4.5 games out of the Warriors. Like, they were still pretty close. Now with Sengun out, I think those chances are out
the window. It's taken down.
It's taken down. But yeah, Sengun, we talk about him, man. I think he's, right there of being, a top five, maybe even top three center, I think is his ceiling one day. He's sure. Right there. He's special, man. He's a mini Jokic. He can do everything. He's like the youngest player to put up. It was 20, 10, and 5 in a season or something like that. And I was watching that game because I did have money on it. And I saw him go down and I'm like, fuck, man. The good thing is that it's only a high ankle sprain. Again, injuries suck no matter what.
Yeah.
But thank God he avoided a serious injury. Because the way he got wheelchaired off the court. When you see the wheelchair, you either think you pooped your pants like Paul Pierce or you snap something in your leg. So thank God it was just a sprain.
Yeah, no, things could be a lot worse for a young player, especially assuming they don't make the postseason here. Now you get to go into the offseason somewhat healthy. Well, where it's
you kind of have a longer offseason to rest up and stuff, exactly. Too. So
you can get a lot better, you can get healthy, and you can hit the ground running to actually work back out and improve on whatever you want to improve on. And the last thing I want to touch on before we do move on here, Donovan Mitchell not receiving any accolades this year due to the 65-game rule. I know we touched on this episodes ago, weeks ago, whatever it was, but I think we just need to revisit real quick again. The rule is bullshit. Players are literally going to miss out on money because of a 65-game requirement that barely any All-Star is really going to hit unless you're like Jokic, who's been one of the more durable stars throughout the league in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Or I guess LeBron hasn't missed a lot of games. AD
Tatum, I think Tatum, too, is not obviously levels and stuff, but Tatum's another guy that's pretty durable. Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those things where it's like, we've talked about this. We both agree it's bullshit. I like that there's a line, right? But I think that line needs to go down a little bit.
It needs to be lower. 60,
I think 60 games may have been maybe high 50s or something like that. Because at first when it came out, it's interesting idea. This could work. And then you actually get to the point where players are being ruled out. Then it's just man, that's fucking stupid. Joel Embiid, I get that was an outrage. Embiid's a little different. He missed half the season probably. That's kind of a little bit more justified. Someone like Mitchell, who is on a tear this year, 28 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. The Cavs,
that's all NBA first team.
That's an NBA first team right there. And I think the biggest thing, and you nailed it on the head, is the money. That's where the players are going to be no. This is bullshit. We got to do something.
We have to reevaluate in primarily for the money, but we also need to reevaluate it because there's not 120 games in a season, but 65 games is the requirement to play to actually deserve and earn this stuff. Maybe I'm not saying we should bring it down to 41 games because that's the season split in half exactly. But I think I'll do 50 to 55. I think that's more realistic. Play more than half the season and you can get these awards and accolades. Not 65 games.
Maybe it's 52 where it's you can only miss 30 games or something like that. It's we've kind of talked about this. There's honestly a difference between not being eligible for awards and the All-NBA teams. Because the All-NBA, you can make, obviously there's incentives. You win the MVP, you can get this, whatever. But the All-NBA teams is really where the money is made. We've seen in history where, players don't make... Jason Tatum. I mean, last year, John Morant, who was suspended 2 years ago, Jason Tatum, he missed out on the All-NBA third team, I believe it was, by 9 votes, and he missed out on $40 million. And it was this isn't me saying we should have made it, but it was one of those it was a position thing. Kyrie, he had more votes than Kyrie, but since Kyrie was a guard, he got it over Tatum. So it was it was a big thing, whatever. But that's where the money is. Tyrese Halliburton's not going to get it this year. That's a guy that could have been an All-NBA second team player with the way he's been playing with leading the league in assists. And they're not going to cash out on it. That's the issue. That's where players are going to have an issue there. I'm curious how, because this is the first year they've done it. I'm curious if they'll make some adjustments and tweak it a little bit for next year because...
Oh, they have to.
I mean, it's it's not set in stone. Like, again, it's a good, I think it's a good concept. Like, I definitely think it's something that you need to have in place so players can't abuse the whole sitting out, you know, whatever. But there needs to be some tweaks. Just like the play-in tournament. Play-in tournament was great, but there are a few tweaks that need to be made. Just a few. Sure. But it's just because you made it, you put it down for one season, doesn't mean it needs to stay that way. You can change it.
Like, I could appreciate the new innovative ways that Adam Silver and the rest of the NBA is trying to promote.
At least he's doing something. At least he's doing something.
Leagues are usually afraid of commissioner.
Right.
A lot of people don't want to change up something. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. In this case, Adam Silver said, you know what? We need to compete with the NFLs and the college footballs in the world in terms of viewership. Let's try to spice some things up. Our stars want to sit out for rest. Let's erase that by creating the 65 game rule requirement. So we can basically mess with their money if they do decide to sit out. So I understand, and I actually, like you said, I appreciate it. I think it is a great idea, but it does need to be tweaked just a little bit. I don't know the extent of it. I don't know how far they go, but if I play 55 games and I don't get an award because of that, even though I averaged 28, 6, and 5 like how Donovan Mitchell is, I'd be pissed because I'm going to see Anthony Edwards take my All-NBA first team spot, and he averages less points, less rebounds, and assists than me.
Yeah.
I'm mad.
Yeah.
If I'm down to
him. Yeah. I'm mad for him, too. I mean, it's just part of it. Like, I mean, there's nothing he can do about it. Like, that's just the rule set in place. But maybe if there's, like, by the end of the season, a lot more top names miss out on it because they just missed the threshold, I think the NBA is, like, obviously they're aware of it. And at that point, they might have to do something, but we'll see. I mean, we gave our thoughts on it. I mean, you guys give us your thoughts, what you think of the new 65 game rule, like thoughts on the awards, all NBA teams, how that's gone about. But yeah, I think we both can agree that it sucks. It fucking sucks. It really does. Yeah. But another thing that sucks.
Ripping off another band-aid.
Unfortunate. So the Lakers unveiled these new Kobe Bryant statue outside of the crypto.com arena, or whatever you want to call it, the house that Kobe Bryant built, I like to say.
Cool.
And they misspelled a few things. So it's the statue, it's like commemorative for like the 81 point game. So they had like the stats and stuff. They had the box scores, whatever, of players on both teams. All the stuff that you would see in a typical just like
box score,
same exact thing. So they misspelled Jose Calderon. They called him Jose Calderson, Von Wafer, Vom Wafer, and then Coach's Decision, which is this might be the funniest one to me because right above it, they have Coach's Decision spelled correctly.
Spelled right.
And then right underneath it, Coach's Decision spelled incorrectly. They just put a C instead of an S. So, like, this isn't something that we have to, like, sit and talk about for, like, 10 minutes or anything like that. But, like, I think the one question that I've had since I've seen this is, how? Because, like, I feel like this is something that, like, it's, like, years in the making. It's so fine. Like, you're doing box. Like, this is so fine detail. Like, you're down to the specifics here. And, dude, like, did no one proofread it? Like, did no one like go over it? Like, I don't know if they like skipped a step or like they didn't have someone to like go over after. The guy that made it just isn't. I don't know. I don't know what happened here. But it's kind of embarrassing. It's pretty embarrassing, Jerry.
Pretty.
Not a good look. Not. What word are you thinking of?
This is a fucking laughing stock.
Like, I am laughing.
There's so many other statues in front of crypto.com arena that don't, I've been there. I've gotten to see, I've gotten to read it. I haven't noticed. Even Oscar De La Hoya's statue has no blunders on it, and he's a boxer. Like, this isn't even anything for basketball. But like you said, the house that Kobe Bryant built, probably, you know, just because Magic says it, that is the greatest Laker in franchise history. He gets his first statue, one of three.
One of three.
And to kick things off, you put that out with spelling errors. I don't know how much it cost to, you know, get construction done for a statue, but I imagine it's a lot of fucking money because we're talking about people melting down, like, you know, gold and brass and all this other stuff and molding
it. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while.
And somehow, some way, like you said, like, did you not proofread this? We're talking about professionals in their craft, and that's what they put out. That's really fucking disrespectful for my franchise, Goat.
And it's tough. Like, you see, like, and I think this is more common in, like the NFL Hall of Fame, where you get, like, the bust made, and it's, like, your face. Yeah. There have been times where, like, you see someone's like, that doesn't look like that guy or whatever. But it's, like, I don't know. Sometimes it can be hard to, like, get the perfect face, mold the perfect face. We're talking about spelling here. We're talking about basic, like, look at a sheet of paper. Look at you're copying the box score. Look at the box score. And then, hey, Calderon, Vaughn. Decision. Listen, I know some people might be harder than others, but, like, I don't know. It should, like, you're getting paid, and I'm just being real, the people that probably did this got paid a lot of money. So you're getting paid a lot of money to misspell some things. And it's like, what do you do now? You're going to make a whole new statue? They just did this whole thing about presenting this one. What are they just going to?
Apparently, they're going to correct the errors. I don't know how you fix that on a statue. It's not like it's engraved in. It is like, like a sheet of something. I don't know what it's called. You know, I'm not no architect or chiselist. I don't know the proper name. But what I do know is that we do know how to read and write, and we know how to spell.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to work on a project of that magnitude, I'm going to, like, probably double check it, triple check it, quadruple check it.
If I had this guy's job, Jerry, I'm just going to assume, okay, just wild assumption, he made, I'm just going to say $100,000. I'm just going to put that number out there. It's probably a big project, LA, like, inflation, taxes, I'm saying $100,000. If that was my job for $100,000, you said double check, I would check it 20 million times before that got, because also, I mean, I don't know. We don't know anything about this guy, who this person was, what it was. I'd be like, my fear is, like, I'm not getting a job again. I'm not going to be able to make another statue. I'm on board to make those other two Kobe statues. I'm off now. They're getting another guy coming in to check the spelling. Yeah, tough luck, man. It's a beautiful statue. It's a great statue. They did a great job with it besides a few spelling mistakes.
They disrespected my GOAT, and I don't like it. I'm pissed. But yeah,
that's tough.
We can move on.
Let's move on to something nice. Our only like positive topic today. Our only positive topic. We have a former NBA player by the name of Isaiah Thomas. Not the Pistons one. No. He's long retired. Former NBA guard from the Celtics, more notoriously known Isaiah Thomas. Signed with the G League, Utah Jazz G League team. I don't know what their specific
Salt Lake City Stars.
Salt Lake City Stars. So Isaiah Thomas, who is 35 years old, also known for being the last pick of the draft in 2011, has played 3 games so far for them, and he has been on an absolute tear. He's averaging, 32 points. 6 assists, almost 3 rebounds, shooting 41% from 3, 38% from the field, and 94% from the free throw line. So I'm just going to get this out of the way. Isaiah Thomas is one of my favorite players of all time. Like, I mean, just like, just his story, everything about him coming to Boston. I remember, like, when he got traded to Boston, I remember I was sitting in my car right outside of a Supercuts in high school. And it was like the trade deadline just went through, but it was like, just because it's the deadline passed doesn't mean trades are still going to go through. They're going through the office. I remember seeing Marcus Thornton getting traded for Isaiah Thomas. And I was like, okay, we were starting a rebuild, whatever. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, this guy comes into Boston, he gets ejected his first game. Just like, I forget who they were playing. I think it was the Lakers. He was going at someone. It was like the most aggressiveness we've seen from a Celtics player in years at that point. So we immediately fell in love with him. We know, like, he what came 5th in MVP voting 1 year, almost led the league in scoring, at 5'9". It's just, there's one thing, like, guys like Isaiah Thomas, Allen Iverson's my favorite player of all time, because it's like the short guys that can get shit done, heart over height. Like, those guys, like, really, like, cemented themselves as, you know, at the time, Isaiah Thomas, one of the best guards in the league. And then injuries happened. kind of started getting traded around. Just like unfortunate circumstances for him, and him being, you know, 5'9" doesn't help either. But just signed with the G League team, he's doing super well. And like one thing I want to say, one, I'm happy for him because he's a guy that like I follow him on Twitter and stuff. He works out all the time. He's always like NBA ready for a call. So I'm happy to see that he's getting an opportunity in the G League at least. It'd be interesting to see if a team that's like kind of out of playoff contention right now would, you know, look to sign him. But more importantly, I kind of want to like writing down this topic is like, I think the G League is such a great spot for the NBA now, because like you have like the young guys that can come in, like the Ignite teams that you can get from instead of going to college, come to the G League. But then you also have like these veterans, like not just Isaiah Thomas, Lance Stephenson is a notable one from like probably a few months ago. Like these old guys can come back in and look for a second chance, or like, you know, still compete and stuff like that. So I think it's a really cool opportunity, and I'm really happy that he's getting his chance. I would like to hear your thoughts on like the G League and just like all this stuff in general. But yeah, man, I'm happy to see Isaiah Thomas back playing, even if it's not like on an actual NBA team. It would be cool to see him back on an NBA team. I don't know if that'll happen, but very cool that he's back getting another chance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Isaiah Thomas actually spent some time in Charlotte. I think that was maybe his last active stop here. And the team was well above 500 with him in the roster. Hell, he got us to the play-in tournament spot where we did proceed to get blown out by 30 points, I believe, to the Pacers. But that's not important. He got us there. And he was a big reason why we got there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it sucks I wasn't in the arena to actually experience him like in person because of the COVID situation that was still kind of lingering around for us. But it looked like he had a huge positive impact on a squad. And I think he could do that for a roster, whether that be a young team or a team that's competing for a playoff spot or an NBA title.
Honestly, dude, like, I mean, I think veterans are just so valuable in the NBA today. Like, Udonis Haslam, there would be some people that would give him shit. Like, you're taking up a roster spot, like, you're not playing and stuff. But just that veteran presence is, like, sometimes more valuable than having another guy that could give you, like, 5-10 minutes off the bench. You know what I mean? Like, someone like Isaiah Thomas, and this is, like, jokingly, but it also kind of is, like, it's not a real thing, of course, but, like, the Isaiah Thomas curse in Boston, it's, like, ever since he left, the Celtics just something has gone wrong. Things happen. People like until they bring back Isaiah, because I mean, we're the ones that traded him when he was hurt and stuff. Danny Ainge traded, which is ironic because it's ironic because Danny Ainge is the president, the GM of the Jazz now, where Isaiah Thomas is playing. So it's funny how he's back with Danny Ainge. But I think like he would be great on a team. He doesn't have to play. Just like being in the locker room, that veteran presence. I mean, like I can sit here and tell you, like I would love for him to come back to Boston and just sit on the bench. I have his jersey in my closet still. Like I love that guy.
That's exactly the type of energy that he exuded in a younger locker room with Charlotte. Guys like LaMelo gave him props. Miles Bridges gave him props. PJ Washington, when he was here, gave him props. They all appreciated having an older voice that's been through the ringer of the NBA already and was a number one go-to option on a team.
Yeah.
To shrink himself down, not literally, because obviously he's 5'9".
He can't go much shorter.
Shrink his personality down to actually be more malleable and fit with a group of guys that's a decade younger than he is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I can appreciate the hell out of IT, and I'm sure Tatum, Jaylen Brown, who played with them for a second, they could all appreciate and put their arms around, oh, wow. Like, we got our vet. Like, those guys are important. In terms of the G and the status of it, you mentioned Lance Stephenson being a highlight name for a veteran. How about Kenneth Faried, who fell off the map?
Him too, 100%, yeah.
Off the map entirely in the NBA. Like, I think his last stint was with the Rockets, and he got caught in this
years ago
transition of a, hey, we're playing a lot faster, and if you're a four and you can't shoot the three like how you can't, you don't belong here.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. That's where he got, you know, chopped off it, but he's been making some noise in the G, being like a small ball five or something is actually a realistic thing for him. Justin Jackson's another good name, former Carolina guy, could actually be good somewhere. Like, the G's a place now, well, yeah, it's definitely to develop younger guys or guys that who weren't quite ready when they made the jump from college, but now it is a good stopping point for veterans where we don't want to quite play overseas because we feel like you'll overlook us if we go there. So yep. We're going to do it here in the States, be homegrown. And guess what? We could still provide that locker room presence to other younger guys in the G League locker room. And we could do that for your locker room. So there's more of a selling point for those veterans that are there.
Yeah, it's nice seeing the strides the G League has taken over the last few years. Far from the D League, they used to call it. It's kind of like a fever dream so long ago. I'm a huge fan of what the G League does again. Like college guys, they can go there instead of going to college, making a salary. These old vets coming in, trying to get a second chance, making a name for themselves again. I'll just say it. Hey, I don't know if anyone from the Celtics organization watches this, listens to this podcast, but if you have any sort of control over, you know, signing players, I've been asking for it for years. Bring Isaiah Thomas back. Fix the curse, okay? Whether it's real or not, just fix it. Bring Isaiah Thomas in. I promise you nothing but good things will happen. Just good vibes. That's all we want.
See what happens.
But yeah, also I have it written down here. Joe Mazzulla and the coaching staff was at the Utah Jazz G League game watching Isaiah Thomas. So listen, Isaiah Thomas said after the game, he goes, I keep in touch with everyone. He talks to JT and Jaylen Brown a lot. So there's ties, there's connections. We'll see.
We'll see what happens, man. I mean,
we'll see.
I think it makes sense for the Celtics to go after another backup point guard if it's needed, you know? I'm not quite sure where he fits. He can fit. I just don't know if they'll do it.
He's small. They can fit him.
That is insane.
In small places. So that's all we have for topics. I'm kind of looking through to see if there's a.
Yeah, there's actually one big thing that we didn't address with Isaiah Thomas on Draymond Green's podcast.
Oh, the other Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, yes. the OG
Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, the OG. Yes, and no.
Basically dropped a lot of gems just saying
he
that
did.
KD extended the Warriors championship run, which I kind of
Man,
said.
I've been saying, like, Jerry, listen, I have said this for, and this is a hot take to some people, but I have been saying this for years and, like, it's such a good feeling hearing someone like Isaiah Thomas kind of like repeat it in his own words.
A two-time NBA champ? I mean, come on.
Listen to me.
Talk
there
to
was
me.
No dynasty before Kevin Durant. They won one championship, and injuries are a part of the game. Every single year you can say, oh, this team won because these guys got hurt. 100%. They faced a Cavs team with just LeBron. No Kyrie and Kevin Love. Let's just get that out of the way. I'm not saying they wouldn't have won if they were healthy. I'm just saying that's the team that they beat to win their first championship.
Before we even go any further, Michael Conley in the first round series in the Grizzlies broke his damn face.
Broke his face. Like, broke his like fucking face. It was totally crazy. Too. Dude, it was just, they beat an injury riddled Cavs team, okay? And then the year later, they 73-9, best regular season record. Unbelievable. Blow a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals.
Yep.
And then Kevin Durant comes along and they win two more. I'm not here to say, because I don't know what could have happened if Kevin Durant didn't sign, but I am confident, I believe that if Kevin Durant didn't sign with the Warriors, I don't think those four guys, Iggy, would have four rings. I think their legacies would be a little different. It could be a lot different. I do think that they maybe could have won another ring or so because they still had a stacked roster. But Isaiah Thomas, I do think, like, is right. Kevin Durant, like, is a huge reason, if not the biggest reason why
That's
the Warriors have
player
a legacy.
Ever.
I mean, it's obvious. It's like they were a great team without, and this is why like people give KD shit, and I understand. But it's like when KD went to Golden State, he made them that unstoppable team.
Yeah.
Like they weren't unstoppable before he went there because they lost. You saw that they lost. They weren't unstoppable. He made them unstoppable, and
I mean,
he became their best player. He didn't ride coattails.
Like, check this out. Just everything you said, I wholeheartedly agree with. Even most of Isaiah Thomas' statements from that podcast clip, I agree with. The only one that I might be a little give some pushback on is that, I don't know, like he made it seem like the Warriors would have vanished into thin air.
They
I don't
were,
know
no,
they vanished
absolutely.
Because
he was saying they were going like this. That's not true.
Yeah.
They would have been
they
fine.
Still compete. But
100%.
What I could agree with, like, everybody's legacy is different. And therefore, so is LeBron's. Because he was getting to the finals every single year.
And
now
LeBron
we're talking about
could add another ring.
Another one. We're talking about maybe a possible another
six
two to three.
Passing Jordan. Yeah.
Like, yeah, like that guy could have stacked up in the 2010s like he should have, like how MJ did in the 90s to get six rings. We're probably 100%. Talking about LeBron having, I'm saying probably like 5 to 7 championships. Like that would have been realistic.
Yeah. You want then that whole GOAT debate. I mean, that's
it's over.
That's over. The whole Steph, and I do think Steph's one of the best point guards of all time. But I mean, without those rings, you bump him down a few notches and stuff. Is Draymond a Hall of Famer? Is Klay Thompson a Hall of Famer? Like,
you know, speaking, you mentioned Steph being one of the best point guards of all time. Isaiah Thomas also.
And Isaiah Thomas also mentioned, he goes, I don't consider him a, was that Isaiah Thomas or didn't Magic Johnson say something too?
I don't know if Magic said it, but I know on Draymond's show, Isaiah did say that I don't consider Steph an all-time great point guard. Because you're the point guard. You being Draymond Green is a point guard. Right, and I'm not going to say I don't. I think the game has changed so much where the position.
It's so hard to find a traditional point guard nowadays.
It's not like Isaiah Thomas mentioned his own resume where he was the top scorer and top assist leader. He's one of the best point guards of all time. Rightfully so. Wholeheartedly agree. But the way the game is played today, your point guards are expected to average probably 25 plus. Where, you know, the rest of your guys, like, are probably going to lead the team in assists.
You
like
have LeBron. Centers now that are averaging 10 assists. Yeah. You have small forwards that average
LeBron was technically the point guard for all those championship teams.
You could say LeBron has been a point guard forward slash point guard his whole career, 100%. Yeah, it's just a different game. I get why Isaiah Thomas is saying, but it's just, it is different. Changed. I do think that Steph might be classified more as like a shooting guard, even though he was a guy that like ran through the offense, ran through him, had the ball in his hands. Draymond was the, you know, main assist or whatever. But
yeah,
it is interesting hearing like an old, like a legend, like Isaiah Thomas actually coming out and saying these things. Cause like you said, he didn't hold back. He just gave amazing, amazing clips. And but also Draymond's face when he was like getting into the Warriors was hilarious. He was just like,
But you know, these are things that as a fan, I've said this for years where I know that Kevin Durant extended their championship window. Mm-hmm. And if you're smart, everybody should agree with that because there's no guarantee that they win those championships without him. I don't think they do.
Like, and if KD stays in OKC, who says that they're not the ones that take out? They were up 3-1 against the Warriors that year.
There are so many different things that why Isaiah Thomas, for the most part, everything, all the clips that I've seen, I didn't watch the entire episode, but most of those clips I agree with. Kevin Durant did extend their dynasty. Draymond is the brain behind Golden State's success. He might not be the most important player. Actually, he might not be the best player, but he was the most important player.
Sure.
Being the brain of what they did. So, I mean,
Him getting suspended game 6 could have been the reason why they lost that year in the first place. Show you the importance of Draymond, 100%. And
maybe if that doesn't happen, maybe they two-peat. Maybe KD never comes to Golden State. I don't know. Like, it's a whole different ball game just because of
another universe. In another universe, all that stuff happened. But in this universe, the Warriors do have 4 rings.
And
Kevin Durant has 2, and he's a big reason why they got 2 of them.
No, but he is the reason.
He is the reason why they got 2. Let's be honest. This guy was averaging 30-plus in the finals. Let's fucking stop bullshitting, all right? We watched what he did against the Cavs in those finals. That was best player on the planet shit. That's what that was. Debate. But hey, he put up crazy numbers in the finals.
Yeah, when you're playing with Steph, Klay, and Dre, and then you're the guy that – I don't have to be double teamed.
You have to put up those numbers if you're KD. But that's all we got for that. We talked a lot of Isaiah Thomas this episode, multiple Isaiah Thomases, some injuries, all that stuff. But I think it's time for us to sign off. Like I said earlier in the episode, if you are an audio listener, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating, like us, follow us. I don't know how it works on the podcast platforms, if it's a like or a follow thing, but whatever you gotta do it. We appreciate you. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment, check out our shorts, our gamified content in the shorts tab. If you're on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all those socials, our socials on the screen. And yeah, until next week, hopefully no injuries leading up to next week, just a clean bill of health for everyone. Episode 30 next week. Well, we actually have a notable player that we can use.
Easy.
Seth Curry.
Yep.
Curry. Charlotte Dale. Hornets.
Dell Curry.
Dell Curry. The only notable 30s I can think of.
Right.
Yeah. And until next week, hope you guys have a great week. We'll be back for episode 30. So, peace out.